Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Christian dress. Where is Christian dress today? If somebody would walk in a Christian church, modest, and I'm not saying like a Muslim even, extreme modest, just modest. Do you think, let's say a megachurch, for example, they would stand out if they were dressed like, let's say, a Jewish person?
Well, yeah, I think a couple of times, or that one time when we went to visit a church, like on Sunday, I was like, I'm the only one with a head covering, so I kind of felt a little weird. But at the same time, no one really said anything or looked at me in a weird way. So maybe there are instances like that.
Yeah, there's a problem today. So in Christian churches, especially the mega Christian churches, they have like these rock concerts before they have the actual message that's being preached. And a lot of the people in a rock concert are very immodest. How can you open up in worship by singing along with a woman in immodest clothes? Yeah. And this is what is being done out there. So, you know, when I go to a church or online and I see something, and if I see the worship leaders immodest, and by me saying immodest, I mean revealing one's private parts. You know, that's part of what immodesty is for me, is revealing one's private parts. And there's also a look, like, for example, most women on the internet, on Facebook and Instagram, they're not modest. And you can't even see their bodies half of the time. From just a headshot, you know they're not modest, because they got the face paint and they got a seductive look to them. And they make their hair a certain way. So, you know, we could know a lot by a person by just seeing who they are. And who are we to judge one's walk by just the way they look? And that's what people will ask us. And it's like, look, we're called as brothers and sisters to judge each other, lift one another up, not tear us down. Elders, the women teach the children, the young women, how to dress for Yah. Not success according to the world. Dress for success. Dress for success. You go to a business interview, or you go to a business in general, all the women that are in corporate, or yeah, they're dressed for success, okay, but it's not by modesty by any standards. And then you know dressing for success is to going and dressing modest for Yah. And it makes a tremendous difference. So a lot of what's going on now also has to do with the feminist movement, because a lot of Americans in the Western culture society today will say, well, you know, women have been oppressed for so long. Just look at the way these women dress. They're oppressed. Look how they dress. They're oppressed. Look how they dress. Well, why can't we say that to American women? Well, they're oppressed. Look how they dress. Mm-hmm. They have to show off their private parts to get a job. Mm-hmm. You know, is that more oppression than a woman that doesn't want to show her body off to the world and wants to just let her husband be the only one to see it? Mm-hmm. So I think the way we use oppression is in a wrong way these days. So again, and Jose brought that up and says, what was the main reason for humanity to merge to refuse modesty? Women's rights, liberation in the 70s? Mm-hmm. What triggered it? No modesty. And it's not around the world. All around the world, there are a lot of women that still uphold the standard of modesty. But when you look at where around the world, it's where the media is less. Wherever media is, modesty's out the door. But when media is not around as much, it's different. And, you know, it's harder and harder to find places around the world today where there is no media or very little media. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember, you know, in Eastern Europe before the wall came down, you know, they had somewhat standards, but they're coming westernized now. And but you could still thankfully go to certain countries around the world and still see people modestly dressed. Sadly, it's in some Middle Eastern Islamic country that you have to see that. That should be the standard all over. And I know in certain areas of Jerusalem, they do have high standards of modesty, so that's helpful. Now, how we apply these standards, that's another thing. I mean, you know, I think from a biblical standpoint, the best way to approach the topic of immodesty from a biblical standpoint would be to pray for that person. Pray for that person. I didn't say with that person. I said pray for that person, that their heart and eyes would open up to know the truth about why they're immodest, and they would do something about it. You know, so I think that's what we're called to do, where Islam and some other places might get kind of violent if somebody's not within modesty standards. And but you know, that, you know what, you know, if somebody goes to a Middle Eastern country and they're walking around in a bikini, they know the rules. They know the rules. And so it's just a lost society, and things are going down pretty bad pretty quickly. And I think it's a question we need to ask ourselves. So somebody might be watching and say, why is it a sin to wear not to wear a head covering? Yeah, so somebody might ask a question, and my reply to that would be like, why is somebody asking that? You know, like, why would you ask that? Did somebody say it was a sin, or is somebody just preaching modesty? Like, what are you looking for an excuse not to wear one? And you don't have to wear one to be saved or to be righteous, you know, but certainly if you're idolizing your hair and making worship out of your hair, it shows you where your heart is. But my question to be was, why wouldn't a woman wear a head covering? That's a question I would give people, is what would keep you from wearing one?
I guess one thing would be to be mistaken for a Muslim, for instance. And so, yeah. But also they see it in scripture as just wearing it when praying and prophesying. However, some people don't even see that and say, well, we don't even have to, which is fair enough. But
yes. So, you know, so yeah, we have other videos about head coverings out there, and you can go and check those out if you have interest about it and so on. But just in general, I can give you some guidelines here, because I makeup is a very controversial topic. You know, why do young women today, or even older women today, feel the need that they have to face paint their face? Why do you think that is?
Influence
and media and so on. And what about other things of immodesty? High heels is another thing we talk about often. It's to me, one of the clearest signs of immodesty are high heels. Now, there's a difference between heels and high heels. Mm. High heels, it's just absolutely something that is a big warning sign that this person has struggles with her idea of modesty or not modesty. And then there's some women that are shorter that might just say, I just want to be taller. And you say, well, why don't you wear platform shoes? Why do you got to wear high heels? Because you don't just want to be taller. You want to maybe look taller, but platform shoes will make you taller. High heels, they'll put your body in a certain position. Yeah. And, you know, it makes people walk a certain way. So I think that just shows a proof of an immodest heart out there. And maybe somebody's watching right now and thinking, you know, we're extreme or something like this. But ask away on questions. If you have a couple of questions before we end here tonight, and we do have a question, somebody says, can we wear caps in lieu of head coverings?
What kind of caps?
Well, I would assume they're thinking like a baseball cap.
Okay.
So
You go first.
Okay, me first. Okay. So that's a good question. Can we wear hats in lieu of head covering? My answer is you can wear whatever you want. It's not a rule here that says you have to wear a head covering in this style, or you have to cover your head with this. Wear whatever you want. But I've seen some modest women in baseball caps, and I've seen some very immodest women in baseball caps. You know, what are you doing with your face, your makeup, and your hair, and your rest of your body, and so on? And what does your baseball cap have on the front of it? Who's it representing? I mean, there are many different styles to cover the head, but if you understand, like, why are you seeking to cover the head? Don't do it because other people told you to do it. Some people will say, well, I do it because I feel it makes me be closer to my creator. Wonderful. Other women say, I do it because it makes me feel more modest. Wonderful. Other people say, well, I do it because I don't want the world to see my hair. Okay, that's fine. But so why are you doing it? And now, does wearing a baseball cap equal your goal? So if you're doing it because you don't want anyone else to see your hair, well, a baseball cap will cover your hair. If you're doing it because you feel having your head covered is important in your relationship with Yah, well, that covers your head. If you're doing it for modesty reasons, well, does a baseball cap enhance or draw attention in a certain way to you or not? Because some women in baseball cap, they might look less appealing, but some women in a baseball cap might look more appealing. Maybe some women wear a baseball cap because they don't like the way their hair looks, and or they didn't do their hair that day, so they're just wearing a baseball cap because they feel they look better in a baseball cap than without it, and that is the wrong attitude. You know, if you're covering because you feel you look better with your hair covered than without, that's not the heart of modesty. The key isn't about what makes me look my best. The key is, you know, it's about a modest heart here. And so know your goal before you put something on and what you do. Yeah. So, and look at the message that it's giving to others. Interesting. All right. So, so what do you have to say about that, about baseball caps? Because honestly, and we are not the final say in all of these things, but I don't think I've seen you in a baseball cap too much. No, so,
and I wouldn't wear one. Yeah. Because, I don't know, I think I'm more slightly extreme than my husband in that answer, so to say. I think if you're going to cover your hair or go that route and head cover, I think your whole hair should be covered. And, you know, if you're going to wear a baseball hat and just cover your scalp, for instance, and then your hair is like flowing and out, I think there's no point of just calling it a head covering. Just the same as some Orthodox Christians or other people just sort of wear a cloth on their scalp as well while their hair is also showing. I think that's not a head covering for me, at least. But, I mean, if you want to start out that way and, you know, Yah is convicting you to start somewhere, I think that's appropriate, of course, like just starting out, as I said. But, you know, if you've been doing this for many years and you call a cap or a hat or a little bit of a cloth on top of your scalp a head covering, then I think to myself, I don't think it is. So, yeah, I'm a little bit more extreme. So,
well, I don't know. I'm in agreement with you. I'm not a fan of somebody of having their hair down in public. And I think when the person mentioned a baseball cap, I was under the assumption your head was covered, like completely, your hair. I don't consider somebody who covers partially their hair of that being a head covering. It might be a piece of your head covering, but not a head covering. I'm in agreement with you there. But it depends where a person's at as well, if she's learning and she's just starting out. But I think ultimately, the most modest way to do it would be to have your whole head completely covered.
Yeah.
And, so... and I hope that answers that question and gives you some more clarity on that. So.
But I also did watch speaking of head coverings, a video maybe a couple months ago. It was a documentary about Orthodox Jews, and a lady was speaking who wore wigs, and she actually admitted saying that you can pretty much tell a woman's religiosity by what they're actually wearing on their head. So if they're wearing just a wig, you can pretty much say that they're not as religious. Whereas if someone is covering their whole hair and wearing an actual head covering, then you can say that, hey, you know, this woman is actually following Yah, and yeah, they're very religious. So I think that says a lot too. And something that maybe we need to look into as well if we do want a head cover and follow that example.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what about the topic of modesty for men? And we look at that in, you could say, in Christian modesty versus Islamic modesty or dress versus in Judaism and so on. How modest or immodest are men? And there's different types of reasons why a man might want to dress modest versus a woman, but still, most men don't think about this topic, and I think they are much more careful in Islam and the Amish and Judaism about immodesty for men, where in Christianity, I think the men are less immodest than the women.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a big issue.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a big issue in Christianity. And I will say that, you know, I believe, or, you know, it's men should cover their bodies as well.
Yeah.
And they need to be careful with that. And I think, you know, if the question of like loose pants comes up, it's different than tight pants.
Yeah.
And when you go to churches today, I mean, forget about the short sleeve shirts. I mean, I know most people think I'm crazy for saying that's not modest. But most men are wearing tight jeans with a low cut shirt and or a normal cut shirt. And you would think, well, what does it matter for men? Well, it's still an immodest thing, yeah, you know, it goes both ways. And, you know, I like the idea that I've heard a teacher, just happened to be a teacher of Islam, teaching about the idea of the curtain. It's kind of, think about a long shirt to cover from the waist area, the thigh area, to cover these parts. And when you see videos, maybe it's a travel video of an Islamic country, and you see people walking on the street with these tunics, they're covering their modesty.
Mm.
They're not wearing tight clothes and enhancing it in terms of letting people see it. And we might not be perfect, but that's the heart that we might need. And we're just watching something about a particular country the other day, and all the men were dressed a certain way. And they were working.
Yeah.
They were working and dressed a certain way. It didn't get in the way. And just like with women, women were dressed modest in the old days and it didn't get in the way. You know, so I think it's a big problem because the man and the woman that are immodest are teaching their children to be immodest. Yeah. And then it's getting out there. And it's just a very sad thing in our culture today. And it's something that ministries don't want to talk about. It's something that people don't want to admit, but it's a clear sign to show where we are in our walk.
Mm-hmm.
And by all means, it's not the only place, but it's certainly a good indication of where someone's at. And it doesn't mean if somebody dresses modest that they figured it all out, mm-hmm, and they're a holy person, because we've seen a good amount of people that might be modest just because they don't have a desire to wear makeup, or they're too lazy to wear makeup, or maybe they just, for whatever reason, they just don't desire to be in the vanity and fashion of the world. It doesn't mean that they're a believer. It doesn't mean that they follow scripture. But on the same hand, you know, it doesn't hurt anyone when more people dress modestly. So keep this in mind. And there's no like a book that says, well, this is modest and this isn't modest. But it's like, come on. Private parts are supposed to be private.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to like get your hair all fizzied up and be in an hour at the beauty salon, you know, why are you doing that? You know, and if you're going to wear strapless dresses and bareback dresses and all these different things. What is your goal? What is your reasoning? So these are things to consider. We want to get people thinking about this. We want to encourage those of you that have understood this, went through this, and felt this. And we have a good amount of teachings about modesty on the site, but not only modesty, because some people said, oh, you know, that's all you talk about. No, it's not. We talk about so many issues on this in this ministry, but this is one we both feel is very important, and we're not going to stop talking about it. So so let's see here. And we were there. I mean, we didn't grow into this. We were both very immodest in the world, in our life, and we evolved, I guess, to this place where we feel that, for me, it was a conviction. It was a big conviction to say, hey, this isn't good on any level.
So nowadays you have 15-year-old girls dressing as grown-ups. That's very true too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, they wear makeup, they wear the clothing, their hair, and all together it makes them look grown up and very much older than their age. And then that can actually attract older men looking at them and, you know, whatever else that happens in the world. But so, yeah, it's not really good.
Yeah. Somebody says here, what about requiring men to pull their own weight? Men to pull their own weight. And what does that mean? What does that mean?
Yes.
Yes. Maybe yes. They should. 100. So Benjamin says maybe men should wear
thobes like they do in the Middle East, you know, the long
tunic.
Yeah.
Long one. Absolutely. Why not?
All the way down to the feet.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Absolutely. Yeah, so
I said it as a joke once too. I'm a sibling, should wear it.
Yeah, and next thing you know, I mean, if I could find him, I'll do it. But you know, I like the white cotton ones because you could breathe here in Florida, you know, in those. But you know, a lot of the tunics I have even are just on a thicker side the material. Yeah. But I have no issue wearing a longer tunic in public. On a regular basis, if it's a good material and so on, and we shouldn't have an issue with that. So if you have a couple of questions, post them now before we end here. We just want to encourage people to just consider the topic more. And it's so interesting when women see this; they think all of a sudden we hate women because we mention immodesty and it's popular amongst women, but it's popular amongst men also. Exactly. And especially if somebody out there is watching right now and you're struggling in your marriage or having an issue in your marriage, whether you're a man or a woman, please consider this topic. Please consider this topic and make a change and pray to Yah and see what happens. Yeah. You know, the Jewish people, marriage is such a sacred thing, and the success rate or the divorce rate in Judaism is nowhere near what it is in Christianity. So consider these things. Yeah. So I don't know if this person joined late, but she says it's also men who don't dress modest. Yeah, that exactly. Yeah, somebody says, why in the army do they not allow beards? Only in the Middle East. What's the purpose? Well, that became a survival thing. And Alexander the Great started it in battle. If you had a beard, your enemy could pull on it. And it just, so he started clean shaving his soldiers. That was Alexander the so-called Great. But the army kept with that kind of thought. And also, if you have to wear a gas mask, it's a problem if you have a mask. So this is why you don't see like firemen wearing big beards or people in the army. That's why, mostly. Yes. Somebody says, where does your wife buy her modest tops from? I really wish I had a head covering. It was normal here in the States. So where can you get, I don't know if you talk about head coverings, I guess. So where do you, tops. Tops, where do you get modest clothing today?
I usually do all my shopping on Amazon. yeah, I look for like modest dresses or modest tops or pants. Well, I don't really wear that many pants, but yeah. And mostly some of them are, if you want to say, Islamic versions of clothes. Just because I do like the bagginess and the less revealing stuff. But yeah, I think head coverings can be normal here in the States, but I think too many people are afraid to maybe start wearing them for the reason that they may be judged or, yeah, but they could be. I think it's also having a confidence in knowing the reason why you're doing it, and if you're doing it for God, that, you know, you're doing it for him and to please him first and foremost. So I think, yeah, it's just a confidence level as well.
Sure. And as for men, I often get a question, where do you buy your shirts? And I have under my videos, I often put my Amazon store that has links to certain places where you can buy certain tunics and shirts. A lot of Indian shirts are longer. They're Indian pajama shirts. So it makes a big difference. Yeah, you could go just Google modest dresses. And, well, I mean, I've seen some companies, even swimwear companies, saying, well, this is a modest swimwear. But no, it's not. It's not by any stretch of the imagination. It might not be a string bikini, but it's not modest. So be careful if you do a search just because Google says it's modest. Measure that up into your heart with Yah and his holy word. Yes. So praise Yah. We wanted to get on here and just do this and talk about this and get people thinking about this. So thank you, everybody, for watching. And please consider
that one question. Sorry. To
yes. Interrupt. Which one?
What if someone has a spouse who doesn't like religion or modesty? What's your take on that?
Okay. What if someone has a spouse who doesn't like religion or modesty? What is your take on that? Do you want to answer that or do you want me to answer?
I was wanting you to answer.
Okay. Well, if someone has a spouse who, well, when you talk about religion, are they talking about your belief system and the way you live your life, or are they talking about a so-called religious idea? It's not about religion. It's about, you know, your walk with the Creator and our Creator. So if somebody's a New Age hippie, you're saying, well, what would you do if you're married to a New Age hippie? Well, it depends if you're a man or a woman, how you handle the situation. But first thing I would do is pray about it. I wouldn't change my appearance to be immodest for that person in public. And it's certainly not something that I would just think is a forefront issue. The issue is, well, why doesn't this person believe? And how do I get in a relationship with this person?
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solus Roofing Contractors Incorporated. Solus Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solus Roofing Contractors Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solus Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
We give you praise.